This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this October 13th edition of Invest Talk, Friday the 13th, if you must know. Above average investing for the average investor. We're here to help you get closer to your goal of financial independence. That's what everybody wants, isn't it? Well, I want to see if I can help you with that. You may have the traditional goal of retiring at age 65. 65. You know who picked that age? The government. Social Security. 65 is just an arbitrary number. But that is what most people think is the goal. Retire at 65. Well, I don't believe that's true. Maybe you're shooting for an earlier date. Okay, that's fine. For most of investing, it's only the feasible way to reach. For most of us, investing is the only feasible way to reach the goal. Investing meaning taking a calculated risk, exposing your savings to some risk in order to realize gains over time. Not overnight, over time, over a lot of time. Slow and steady. I know people want to make a killing. They want that next big stock. I know that. And I don't even mind that you try for it, but only with a very small part of your portfolio that you're fine losing it all. That's the speculative. That's the gambling part. But investing is slow and steady. Now, let's start off with our hour, hearing from you. You drive our conversation, as you know. I try to answer the live calls during the hour, 4 to 5 Pacific, Monday through Friday. That's when we're live. Or you can leave your question on the 24-hour listen line, the same number all the time, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Jackie, and I am just starting to get into the stock market and investing, and it seems to be so overwhelming. I'm just wondering if you can kind of guide me into what topics should I kind of start exploring and start learning and then kind of branch off from there. It just seems so big to tackle at once, and I really don't know where to begin. Thank you.
Okay. Most people start with their 401k, and you pick some mutual funds, and that's the way to start. If you're outside of that, start simple. Keep it simple initially. Open up an account at one of the discount brokerages, and then put money in it, and dollar cost average into an index. That's the smartest way to do it, especially as the market's pretty high. No one knows how high it's going to go before it turns down, or when we're going to get that elusive correction that we normally get. But dollar cost averaging means putting the same amount of money into a position every 2 weeks or once a month. Okay, so if you have $1,000, buy, $250 every 2 weeks, and then in, 8 weeks, you'll have $1,000 invested. That's the simplest way. And the index to buy for a beginner probably is a symbol called SPY, which is the S&P 500. So you can buy SPY on a discount brokerage, and then you can start learning how things work. Okay, that's how you get started. Simple. Don't make it complex. It's too hard. It is very overwhelming for most people. And I've been doing it for umpteen bazillion years, and I still learn stuff new all the time, and it changes all the time. So it never really, you get to a point where you can understand it, but it's different all the time. For instance, we've never had a Federal Reserve have $4.5 trillion balance sheet. We never had interest rates this low. I mean, never. It's new. So what's on the table today? Topics to discuss. Have investors become too obsessed with fees at the expense of thinking about things like portfolio construction? Fees are not your enemy. That's our main talking point. So we can talk about that today. Now, being Friday, let's take a look at some of the highlights of the weekly premium newsletter I send out. I write and send out every Friday, e-newsletter. As always, it's sent out about early afternoon, some late morning, early afternoon on Friday, because I finish writing it Friday early morning. I start, and finish all of it early on Friday. In our current market condition section, it's the first section, I say it was a light week for economic news this week, because it was. very economic news and politics was pretty subdued. I mean, as Washington works through the tax reduction plan they say they're working on, I'm sure they're working on it. We'll see what it looks like when it gets there. I mentioned the minutes from last meeting from the Federal Reserve and talk about interest rates, what they say. I talked about the inflation that came out with the CPI and the PPI numbers, Consumer Price Index, Producer Price Index, and it's still very, very low. And the retail sales number, which was probably the only number that was really interesting today. So that's the first section. Then there's a section called Stock Ideas, and always a couple of ideas every week. On the portfolio management section, I try to suggest and offer some perspective on how to make good decisions. Okay, it's been my observation over the years that everybody wants to get that big winner. Everybody's looking for that big winner with the huge returns, right? Well, that might work. I mentioned in the portfolio section, that might work for some, and every so often something like that does happen. But for you and me and the rest of us, it takes experience. It takes time. It takes steady investment. And I warn about IPOs, initial public offerings. Stay away from them. Consumer Watch, when I talked about brand names versus cheaper generic products, what's better? What's not? That's a newsletter, everybody. Comes out every Friday. If you'd like to be one of the subscribers, just go to investtalk.com. It's $9.99 a month, $9.99. And, of course, I offer money-back guarantees. You don't have to take it. So why not try it if you're interested? 888-99-CHART is our number. Let's go back to the phones or go to the phones right now. Back to the phones. We did have a caller. It's our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, this is Chris from Mississippi. I have a question about a emerging markets fund, TMFEX. As far as emerging markets, I have heard you're kind of better off with a managed fund in that respect because these people do that for a living, and you know what that's about. And so they have more of a pulse on the different emerging markets than I would. I just wondering what your opinion is. It's run up quite a bit over time, and I don't know if we should wait for a emerging markets pullback or if it's still time to get into emerging markets and what you think of that fund. Thank you.
Okay, this one, the symbol is TMFEX, is Motley Fool Emerging Markets Fund, and it's one of the, I don't want to say worse, but it's one of the poorer funds. It's Morningstar gives it a 1 star out of 5, so that's really low, okay? And it has been having pretty low returns compared to its peers. It is a medium to large cap fund, so the stocks are medium to large cap. And it just has not done that well. I hate to say that, but it's true. 88% of it is non-U.S. stocks. And it would that be normal, emerging market. But it just hasn't done very well over the years. So I would not consider it. I just wouldn't. It's very, very small. $34 million in the mutual fund. What normally happens, everybody, just so you know, when mutual funds really do poor, they go away. So what really disturbs me is the big mutual fund families. I'm talking about the big names that you all heard. Fidelity, Vanguard, J.P. Morgan, and Morgan Stanley. All those have mutual funds, all of them. They have a bunch of funds. And the underperforming funds, they just get rid of. That way, they don't have to talk about performance of their bad funds. So that's what happens in the big companies with multiple mutual funds. They get rid of their bad ones. And it really is disappointing because when they report on their numbers, it's not really reflective of really what happened. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. It's Friday the 13th. Are you superstitious? It's one of those the market could care less. It's not in the financial world, it doesn't matter. The closest thing we have is maybe quadruple witching day. That day is when options and futures expire third Friday of each month. Quadruple, I think, is once a quarter. So that's something we have. 888-99-CHART. Ask any questions you like. 888-992-4278. I'd love to hear from you. Fees are not your enemy, everybody. Fees. That's our main talking point. At this day and age, fees are so cheap. You shouldn't even care about them, really. I mean, of course, you want to pay attention to it, but they're so cheap. I mean, not that many years ago, let me just put it this way. When I first made my first trade, when I was 21 years old, I had $500. I bought GM. It cost me $250 to buy GM. $500 worth. Okay, that's how much it was. So what does that do? When you have fees, it keeps people from trading too much. This day and age with some no fees or so low fees, people buy in and out, in and out, in and out, and their performance reflects that poor performance. You can't do it that way, even though the fees are really, really cheap. It just doesn't help you. It doesn't. So there's a part of me that, you know, the mutual funds used to have holding periods. You were required to hold them for a certain period. Even though those holding periods could be 60, 90, or 180 days, not that long, but at least it kept you in them for some times. I'm just telling you, you don't need to trade as much as many people do. It's not necessary. If you're a trader, that's a whole different story. But if you're an investor, your trading is seldom. Not often, seldom. So you do make trades. I'm not saying you don't, but you do it for specific reasons, not just because, you know, you're tired of this one. I'm going to go look and see if I can find something else. So don't think in fees as your enemy. They're not. You know, maybe fees should be higher. Okay, well, I don't want to pay higher fees, and I know you don't. but there is a good, there's an argument that if they were higher, people wouldn't trade so much, and they do better. And I think that's a pretty good argument. But in reality, really what you have to do is fees are very, very cheap, so you can buy stocks or ETFs, but don't be so anxious to trade them. If you buy the right ones, solid returns, solid fundamentals, okay, you don't have to be a trader. You want to be an investor. Remember Warren Buffett, who's the world's best investor, what's his holding period? Ideally, he says, he likes to hold things forever. Never wants to sell. Now, he does sell, I will say that. But, you know, that's not his ideal. He goes into buying. When he buys something, he goes into it thinking, I'm going to hold on to this forever. Not, well, I'll wait till it gets to a certain point, then I'll sell it. No, that's not how he thinks. And you can't argue with his thinking. You just can't, because it's been so successful over the years. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. The market was, what was it today? It was up almost as much today. I'm sorry. What are you saying? Okay. The market was up today almost as much as it was down yesterday. Remember, it was down 32 points yesterday? Well, it's up 31 points today. The NASDAQ was down 12 points yesterday. It's up 14 points today. The S&P was down 4%, 4 points yesterday. Well, it's up 2 points today. Pretty much for the last 2 days, flat. And as I've been reporting, 38 stocks were up on increased volume and 147 stocks were down on increased volume. Very interesting. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. What money questions is on your mind today? Reach me now at Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey guys, I'm Ben from Mississippi. I had a concern about a stock I picked up last month, Teva Pharmaceuticals. I heard y'all were saying it a few days ago that you thought it was maybe a value trap. And I haven't lost anything on it right now, but I was curious as to that when you say about value trap, do you necessarily mean that it has potential, a downside potential? Or am I okay to hold this for several years? I just kind of want to hear you guys' opinion on it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the show.
Okay, yeah, and I'm not sure TIVA is a value trap. I'm not. I don't know if I said that. I said it's possible that it could be, but I don't think it is. A value trap means is a not a good thing. That means it traps you in, and then it falls more. Okay, because it looks really cheap, and you buy it because it's cheap. For instance, TIVA has a 3 PE, but they're going to make $5.12 this year. I'm sorry, they made $5.12 last year, and they're going to make $4.24 this year. Next year, they're going to make $3.80. Now, it's interesting that sales are going up, but earnings are going down. They pay a 6.3% dividend, but they said they were going to cut the dividend by 75%. That's what made the stock collapse the first time. Now, if you're a long-term holder of TIVA, I think I would just hold on to it at this point. I think I might just hold on to it. I'm looking for a place to buy it back. If I'm still watching the fundamentals and the news and see what the CEO is going to do. And the reason why they cut that dividend by 75% is they want to pay down debt. That's what they were going to use that for. But all the people who bought TIVA, which is the world's largest generic drug maker, it's, you know, $15 billion market cap now. It was a 30-plus billion 2 months ago, but the stock price got cut in half. But everybody who bought it for the dividend, the dividend was cut in half, three quarters, they sold it. That's what drove the stock down. Does it mean that the stock, a value trap means that it looks really cheap, but it's really going out of business? I don't think TIVA's going out of business. Yeah, I don't think so. Stocks get really cheap looking when they do go out of business because the price falls very, very fast and they still might be making money. But I just don't feel that about TIVA. I think it's going to survive. Now it's a question of where do you buy it? Where do you pick it up? It's pretty much like, what was the company that had all the personal information stolen and that they provide credit ratings for people. That company, oh gosh, tip of my tongue. Anyways, is that a value trap? I don't think so, because it got really crushed by the announcement that all that information was stolen. Equifax, I don't know. Maybe that's an opportunity. Don't know. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. U.S. retail sales came out today. Did you see that? They came. This is for September, up 1.6%. The largest increase in 2.5 years. And where does that come from? Where does that boost come from? Mostly new autos and cars. Also, gasoline prices, by the way. If you excluded them, though, retail sales were still up 1%. If you excluded gasoline, retail sales were up 0.5%. So no matter how you looked at it, it was a pretty good report. Pretty much in line with the experts, though. And, you know, that was all predictable as far as the big jump because everybody that got all their vehicles flooded had to replace them in the hurricanes. And that obviously reflected. So we'll get a better looking picture next month. We'll get a better idea. Now, also inflation numbers came in today, you know, this week, CPI, PPI. And just so you know, the core inflation number that we're looking at right now is about 1.7% annual. The Federal Reserve wants to see 2%. Okay, but we're not getting there. Maybe a little bit uptick, maybe, but nothing of major consequences for us. And one of my talking points is, why is inflation so low? We'll talk about that this hour. Also, I want to talk about the consumer sentiment number, but also how much money is enough money in retirement? This is one I was going to talk about yesterday. I want to make sure I get to that today. So those are the things that are on my mind. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? You can always call 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're now into earnings season again. Quarter ended. And over the next few weeks, we're going to start seeing money earnings reports pour in. And what you're going to see is a pretty good earnings season Maybe not as good as last quarter, but pretty good. But I don't think too many people are going to be paying attention to it, to be honest. I think they're going to be focused more on the economy and the interest rates, housing. I think that's where they're going to focus. They're not going to focus on these numbers, the earnings numbers. Yeah, they'll affect the markets, you know, specific stocks, but the overall market, I don't think so. You can reach me right now as we move into part two of today's Invest Talk. My direct line is between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART.
What are the dangers of short selling? Can anybody do it? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on Invest Talk. Our podcast continues next. First, a number from KPP Financial. It's reason number 2 for a portfolio checkup with Steve. Reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of the risk. So what's the formula? Well, Steve can help you come up with an answer that fits your life situation. And there's never any charge for a complete portfolio checkup for our Invest Talk listeners, and no obligation of any kind either. To schedule your 1 hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review. Or if you'd rather, call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with the podcast. Now let's get back to Invest Talk, answers to life's important money questions. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Justin from Lakewood, Washington. I'm calling about SMG, Scotts Miracle-Gro. I got a couple questions. I'd like to maybe find an entry point. Do you see any signs of a pullback, and what would be a good entry point? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Scotts Miracle-Gro, headquartered in Marysville, Ohio. Interesting. Manufactures lawn and garden products. Most people have heard of them, including fertilizers, plant food, growing media, and control products. It's a $5.8 billion company. It's interesting that its sales are kind of seasonal. So when you look at it, you got to remember, okay, what season is it? But overall, it is a grower, about 10%. The stock price is going to be, the earnings per share, I mean, it's going to be $4.08 this year. That's up 5% from last year. And then next year, up another 10% to $4.48. And it's a $99 stock. So that tells you it's like 21, 22 PE. And the five-year range is 15 to 32. So it's kind of in the middle. Return on equity is very good at 36%. Like that a lot. Good cash flow, pays a dividend 2.1. Management owns 28%. That's huge. For a $5.8 billion company, management doesn't usually own that much, which is a good sign. Now, the stock has been moving up from a low made in June or so. I would rather see a pullback before you buy. I think it's probably going to pull back into the low 90s. It's at 99 now. Maybe 92, 93 would be a really good place. And I would not be very anxious to jump in it. I would not be. And I think it's probably been moving up because the whole market is moving up. Because it's not really the season for this to move up. You would think it would start to move up in the dead of winter as the spring comes. Remember what they do, what their sales are from. So I think it's just been moving up with the market. I would wait for. I'd be patient. I think you'll get a pullback. SMG, you'll get an opportunity to buy this. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Well, inflation. There was an article that fascinated me with this title, and this is what I'm talking about. Inflation is not low. Didn't that, what? Inflation is not low, says an ex-head of the Bank of Israel. He says inflation is not low. He says it's, the inflation is in the stock market. It's just not in the overall economy. It's in the stock market. He blamed central banks around the world by keeping rates too low, too long, and they drive investment prices up. And people are taking that money and investing in the market instead of going out and buying stuff and driving up prices there. They're just driving up the market, stock market, instead of driving up prices everywhere else. That's what his theory is. So he says, we have inflation. It's just in the stock market. Now, isn't that interesting? I never thought about that. I never thought of it in those terms, in inflation terms. He also warned that these extra low interest rates that we've had for a long time is weakening part of the financial system. Insurance companies, pension system, because these companies are very conservative with their investments and they can't get any return on their investments. You know, they buy bonds and money market funds and short-term instruments because they got to, insurance companies need the money to pay claims and pensions need the money to pay pensioners. So it's weakening the system, the insurance system and the pension systems that we have. That's what he said. But I kind of agree with him that, yeah, there seems like there's a lot of inflation in the stock market because it's really, really low. I mean, the P.E. ratios are really, really high. Volatility is very, very low. And prices of stocks, as reflected, if you compare with any historical norms, are pretty darn high. So maybe that's where inflation is showing its ugly face. Maybe. Let's go back to our 24-hour listener line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART. Ryan called from Waldemar.
I'm 20 years old, and I'm looking for some advice on what to do with some extra money. Right now, I have about $6,000 in a growth mutual fund that I invest in every month, and it has a sales charge of about 5%. And then I also have about $10,000 that I've saved up and I'd like to invest. So I'm wondering if I should open up another mutual fund or a Roth IRA or maybe learn some more about investing and do it on my own online or maybe do all those. I'm looking forward to your answer. Thanks. Bye.
Stop buying a loaded mutual fund. You don't need to be paying 5% every time you buy that mutual fund. Don't do that anymore. Buy an index fund. Open up an account at a discount broker and buy an ETF and an index fund. That's where you start. Now, I like the idea of a Roth IRA. That means you cannot touch the money. You shouldn't touch the money, let's put it that way. But if you open up a Roth IRA at a discount brokerage house, take them, you can put in $5,000 or so, and then buy an index fund, ETF. Don't buy mutual funds. You don't have to. I'm not saying never buy mutual funds, but with your inexperience, I would suggest that you stay away from them until you know how to do the research on them. And stay away from any fund or stock until you have enough knowledge to know what you're doing. And buy an index fund. It's very simple. Keep it simple. And you don't put all that money all at one time either. Your dollar cost average, as I mentioned earlier on the show, dollar cost average into the index fund. Okay? Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's another reason to become an InvestTalk Insider. Watch lists. For example, as an insider, you'll have access to special watch lists of real estate investment trusts, REITs. REITs own many types of commercial real estate, many different types of commercial real estate. You can buy REIT that owns warehouses. You can buy a REIT that just sells mortgages. Anything. A REIT is a real estate investment trust. Only has to be doing something in the real estate industry. So that's an easy way to invest in real estate through REIT. You can get this list and many others when you're an InvestTalk Insider. It's free. Sign on InvestTalk.com. That's where you go. Go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Sometimes questions closest to home are the most difficult.
like when to downsize or when to sell your home. Our own Justin Klein is a licensed real estate consultant, and he'd be happy to help you answer these important questions. Just click on Contact Justin on investtalk.com, and he'll get right back to you.
Yeah, this is Joe in San Diego. I have a question. I just started a Roth because I need to start taking my retirement distributions because it would be tax advantageous for me to take them starting now. I am 65, and I'm putting them into a Roth, which is probably a good idea because I don't need the money. And I was wondering, what kind of investments in the Roth would you suggest? Just basic stocks and dividends, yielding stocks, or should I put some bonds in there? But that's tax-free, so I wouldn't want to put a tax-free thing since the whole idea of the Roth is you're only taxed on the income. So I should probably get something like a high dividend-paying corporate stock, I would think. Well, please give me an answer. Thanks.
Okay, the bonds are not tax-free. I don't know where you're getting that from. They're only tax-free if you're buying state municipal bonds or U.S. Treasury. U.S. Treasury bonds are federal government tax-free. Municipal bonds are state and federal government tax-free. But corporate bonds are not tax-free. So make sure you understand that difference. If you put a Roth in, of course, all the growth in the Roth is never taxed. You know, you don't have to ever pay a tax on that. And you said that you don't need the money. My question would be, do you need it in the future? If the answer is no, then I would invest it for growth, not necessarily income. You're 65. If you don't need the money, you don't have... kind of leads me to believe that you're investing it for the next generation, for your kids or your grandkids. But I don't know that because we weren't able to talk. But if that's the case, then you invest it, you'll be a bit more aggressive in it. If you're investing it for yourself as you know, in your 80s, let's say you're going to want to take it, then yeah, I agree. You know, look for more dividend paying, income producing type instruments. But I don't know if I'd be buying bonds at this stage because interest rates are low and Fed's probably going to keep raising rates. And, you know, I just don't feel that that's the greatest place to be. So you can buy bonds directly and hold them to maturity if you know how to do that. And if you're going to buy bond funds, which is not wrong necessarily, I'd keep the maturity very short. So raising interest rates won't affect it. But you won't get much return either. So it's not necessarily a good way to go. Okay? Okay, consumer sentiment numbers were at that came out today, and this is for this month, October, by the way. And you know, it's produced by the University of Michigan. They're the ones who invented this, consumer sentiment. And you know, if you've listened to this show any length of time at all, you know that I'm not a big fan of this number, but it did come in at a 13-year high. 13-year high. So go back 13 years, it's 2017, and you get 2004 is the last time it was at a high, coming out of the recession from the dot-com era. Remember that? That's how that works. Anyways, consumer sentiment, why is that how high? Well, because, you know, been plenty of jobs, the economy's rolling pretty good, there's low inflation, your property is going up in value, your 401k is going up in value. There's a lot of good things to feel about, even though we had those hurricanes and that was kind of disappointing. And we got these fires in California. But, you know, this consumer sentiment is across the nation. So now, you probably are interested to know why I'm not a big fan of this number. It's because they take it and there could take the issue is, you know, something could be happening at the moment that drives consumer sentiment down, but will have absolutely no effect on the economy. And of course, we're always, the whole purpose of this thing is to determine what the consumer is going to do. Is he going to continue spending or not? Well, at times, the number is meaningless because it really doesn't reflect what the consumer is doing, just what they're thinking. And therefore, that's why I'm not a big fan of it because of that. Doesn't mean I don't pay attention because I try to read all this stuff, but I'm just saying that it might not be meaningful. I think today that consumer sentiment number probably is meaningful, probably telling us that the consumers are going to spend more money. But as I said, sometimes it's not. And you have to make that judgment call. Okay? Time for InvestTalk 101. Questions to ask before you buy stock. Here's one. How richly is the company's stock valued? Is it overvalued, undervalued? It's great to find a company whose earnings are growing straight up. Excuse me. But then there's the other side of the story. What about the value that you have to pay for that stock? How much do you have to pay for that growth and the growth of the future? Remember, investors always look ahead, so they tend to drive up stocks ahead of time. Now, KPP Financial, we use some pretty sophisticated tools to determine stock's value, but there are several basic methods of determining a company's value. Price to earnings, price to sales ratios, those kinds of things. A return on equities, return on assets. These numbers can easily be found Yahoo, Finance, MarketWatch. They're easy. But lots of websites you can find them. So while price to earnings multiples or PE multiples aren't the perfect gauge, they're the most common one that most people know. Investors need to consider how much they are willing to pay for a stock. And then you have to understand, well, what is normal? What is normal? Now, if you ask people today, you'll see that the quote-unquote new normal is much higher than it was in the past. But is that right? Will it revert to its mean? That's InvestTalk 101. Do you have questions on this topic or any other money matter? I'd love to talk to you. Please get through to us at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note, and it will come directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, my name's Kerrigan from Salisbury, Maryland, and I listen to your podcast almost every day. The stock I would like to hear talked about is BP. What are your thoughts on it? Thank you, Steve. Have a good one. Bye.
BP, British Petroleum, years ago, as we know, they had that big blowout in the Gulf, and it was really a big problem for them. Cost them billions of dollars. It's a British company engaged in exploration, production, refining, marketing, and transportation of oil and gas. It pays a 6.1% dividend, and I would think that that dividend is probably secure at this point. Probably secure. The stock has run up. I think you need to wait for a pullback. It's broken out, and it's pretty pricey, 35 PE. I don't think I'd be buying it at this point. I'd wait for that pullback. Listen to InvestTalk. I'm open for any money questions. Reach me now at 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278, of course, is our number. You can call it anytime you want. How much is enough in retirement? How much money is enough? And I'm not talking about a dollar amount. I'm not really talking about money. What it is how much is enough for you? What is your particular lifestyle? How much money do you need in retirement? What's your lifestyle? What are you going to do? How much do you spend a month? Vacations, clothing, food, restaurants, whatever entertainment you have. How much do you spend? And how much do you need to not have a stressful life in retirement? Do you need that much so you don't have to stress over it? Whatever that number is. And really, what is retirement? Should you just keep working? Because what else are you going to do? You're going to, I'm retired. You're going to go sit at home and watch TV all day or do video games? What? What are you going to do in retirement? Are you going to play golf every day the rest of your life? I doubt that. Are you going to garden all day every day? No. So what is retirement? Retirement is, as I've said before, for me, and I think for most people, retirement is stop doing what you have to do and go do what you want to do. Now, if doing what you want to do is what you're doing right now, just keep doing it. There's no reason to even think about doing something else. or maybe do it less hours if you're getting tired of a full-time job, if that's what you like to do. You can do something you like to do. Do something fun. Maybe it'll make money, maybe it won't. But you got to figure that out before you stop working. It's harder to figure out while you're in retirement, well, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do today? I'm telling you, it's a problem. It's a problem for a lot of people. And some people can't deal with it, can't handle it. So make sure you consider that. So how much do you need in retirement? Ask yourself, what kind of lifestyle am I going to have? You've got to figure that out before, long before you retire. Let's try to answer one more question before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART. Joseph called from San Galerio.
Hi. I have a basic question. All mutual funds got a different A, B, C shares. In which cases you can purchase A or B or C? For example, my financial advisor advised me to buy a C shares. I appreciate if you will answer this question. Thank you.
Well, he's not doing you any favors if he said go buy a C share. If A, B, and C refers to, in the mutual fund industry, it refers to the commission that he's going to get paid. Okay. He'll say C share because it's 1% commission per year for 5 years at the end of the year. The A shares is 5% commission up front. The A shares are actually, most of the time, cheaper. Why? Because you get a whole year of the fund that you bought to grow. And he's going to get 1% of the ending value of the first year, and then another 1% of the ending value of the second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year. So the fund could be up 50% by the fifth year, and he's getting 1% of that last year of a much higher fee. But you really shouldn't buy any loaded funds at all. Those loaded funds means paying commissions. In other words, there are just as many funds out there with no commissions, no A, B, or C shares, H shares, I shares. There's a lot of those. You have to look at the prospectus to find out how the person gets paid, the salesperson. Now, I'm not saying the salesperson shouldn't get paid for doing the work, but that's really a hefty fee, you know, 5% up front. It's kind of hefty. So you can avoid that. I'd rather see you know, I think those commission mutual funds are going to go away with a new fiduciary law being implemented. I think you're going to see commissions slowly disappear because of the appearance of a conflict of interest. And the new law is going to make that appearance much more difficult to justify, much more difficult. So we'll see. Let's try to answer. Well, we can't do that. We got to go. Time's up. A reminder, if you live in Southern California, I have meetings scheduled at our main office in Dana Point on October 25th. Then I'm in San Jose on November 8th. To get your hour on the calendar, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review. So I'd love to talk to you. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. I'm glad you've been with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you. And let's do it again next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.